D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Hits and Tomas, they doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z know what's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsonson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Welcome in. It's another edition of the BS and Beer podcast. Not the crew, because Heath and Tomas are not with me today, but I do have some good interviews. First of all, from ESPN 100.3, that's Brian Bieniemy. He calls himself the Bret Hart of sports talk. He covers the NFC South. He knows his stuff. He knows his Saints, and he's going to be in a little bit later. Also, we have the LandryFootball.com report with Chris Landry. He comes in every week with me. He brings some insight, more from the scouting and coaching side of it. Always some good insight. The Saints are playing the Browns tomorrow on Thursday. And one of the things that's the big talking point is Greg Williams is the defensive coordinator of the Browns. And you know, I don't want to beat this to death because I'm going to ask both our guests about it. But it's interesting. When he was the defensive coordinator of the Saints, he went after the 49ers, so it's not beneath him, back in 2011, and really put a hurting on Alex Smith. Now, I have no reason to believe that he wouldn't try to do the same thing against the Saints, so I'm a little concerned. You got your left tackles out, meaning Armstead, and right now Ramczyk. We don't know why, but he's out. And then you're going to have Khalif Barnes protecting Drew Brees' backside. Now, I'm not sure how much Drew Brees is going to play, but because of that and the addition of Max Unger being out and who knows who's going to be playing center, I think it's a little bit of a concern. I don't want Drew Brees in the ballgame too long. Other things I'm going to be looking for, defense. I want to see swarming to the ball. I want to see a little bit of pressure from the defensive line. The players that we expect to do well, the Cam Jordans, you know, even Kenny Vaccaro, those guys will not see a lot of playing time. So, you know, the thing is, you want to see that right defensive end, whether it be Kikaha or Okafor or even any of these kids. You want to see them play. You want to see them be successful. They won't be as successful without the likes of a Cam Jordan on the other side. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. But let's see them beat a couple of guys. Let's see them get off of blocks. I want to see them perform well and give me enough to be encouraged about going forward. Offensively, I'm not overly concerned about the offensive line because we had the same issue last year and we seemed to find a way. The way the Saints play offense, the way that the offense is ran by Sean Payton, the way Drew Brees gets the ball out of his hands quick, I'm not that concerned about it. Even if they don't perform as well in the preseason, they've proven to me that when the lights come on for real, they're going to be able to do it. I tell you what, instead of me sitting here babbling on, which I know is nowhere near as entertaining as some of the guests or whenever I have Tomas and Heath in the shop, let's get this bonus coverage started.
Thank you. Thank you. And now it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, we're back here at the SEC Sports Pub as we are every Thursday. And now a friend of the show, Byron Bieniemy. He's the Bret Hart of sports talk, covering NFC South for ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Brian, how you doing, bro? Welcome to the show.
Doing well, my man. Thanks for having me back. I really appreciate the invite.
Yeah, man, I enjoyed talking to you. I thought you brought some good insight last time. And so now that we're, I don't know, it's been about 2 weeks since I talked to you. Now that we're, you know, through camp, through the, I don't know, kind of the dog days where there's really nothing except practice to look forward to, now it's time for these players to start hitting other guys. We're playing the Browns in preseason Thursday night. But before we get to the game, Brian, I want to know your impressions, your thoughts, the first couple of weeks of preseason practice. I want to know your thoughts of the players that you think are doing well, maybe struggling a little bit.
Well, prior to the injury, I was really, really impressed with what Ryan Ramczyk is doing, the first-round draft pick left tackle that the Saints got in, from the New England Patriots trade. I was really impressed with him because he didn't look like a rookie. He came in, of course, having the rookie growing pains every now and again. He may have missed an assignment, or maybe it was a little bit of a too complicated of an assignment for him, right off the bat. But he never seemed to make the same mistake twice, and he definitely showed improvement because you could tell the difference when he was in there versus a guy like maybe Khalid Barnes. And which shouldn't be the case if you can tell the difference between when a rookie is shining and when a veteran isn't. But I was really impressed with Ryan Ramczyk. Brandon Coleman had his breakout camp for wide receiver. This is going to be fourth camp. He really looked impressive coming in. Caught just about everything. Of course, he had a bad practice or two, but by and large, he looked really, really solid. And of course, you've got guys on the defensive end, like a guy like Haloi Kikaha, who's coming back off the injury, who seems to have found his explosion again, coming off from now his third ACL tear in his knee. So those guys really impressed and maybe stood out just a little bit more than anybody else. But the one guy I can say I definitely want to make sure I give credit to is Cam Jordan. By all accounts, this looks like to be his breakout season, and maybe when he's pushed into that national spotlight of the upper elite defensive ends in the NFL.
Well, you know what? Interesting that you say that, because I think what happens, it applies to Drew Brees and those guys who are just there every week or every day doing it, that sometimes it just, you don't even bother reporting on it because you kind of expect that from them. But Cam Jordan, by all reports, having a phenomenal camp. And if you're talking about, Brian, if you're talking about a breakout season for a guy like Cam Jordan, that's going to be some incredible production. And quite frankly, we need it.
Absolutely. I think that the most impressive thing is it looks like Cam has shed a little bit of weight. But it's the idea that he looks just a bit faster, maybe a bit stronger. And that's kind of impressive for a guy who almost averages about 8 sacks a year. I'm pretty certain, and I mean, I'm not gonna, not gonna put money on it. But if I had to be forced, I'd be willing to say I think he's definitely gonna hit the double-digit sack mark. And on top of that, it wouldn't surprise me if he had an interception or two. Cam has been getting a lot of batted balls this training camp. Basically getting to the quarterback, getting around, and if he can't get there, getting his hands up, which is always impressive for a defensive end. But if he can just get some type of outside pressure from the opposite side, Cam Jordan is going to wreak havoc on offense this year.
That's exactly the point, and it's a great one. It's a matter of how much productivity we can get out of the other side, the other defensive end, or some interior pass rush, if we can get that. But one of the things that made me a little bit nervous was the fact that as soon as Ramczyk left practice or hasn't been at practice, and all of a sudden the first time I really heard Okafor's name was during those practices that Ramczyk wasn't there, and going up against Khalif Barnes. If Ryan Ramczyk isn't available, I mean, that's going to throw our offensive line into disarray, because I believe that they're going to have to move Pete out to left tackle.
Well, I'll start off with Okafor first. Okafor had his fair share of wins against Ryan Ramczyk, but they weren't plentiful, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Basically, maybe you have a practice to where Ramczyk may have hit the rookie wall, and then, Okafor got the best of him in that situation. But I do understand where you're going with it, but there was some wins for him, just not as many as when Khalif Barnes stepped in. The same thing with Haloi Kikaha. Of course, he'd won a battle or two against Ramczyk, but by and large, Ramczyk stood his ground, and I definitely understand the angst when it comes to what happens if Ramczyk isn't out there, because Khalif Barnes has basically been a turnstile, if you will. I mean, there's been basically no resistance. I think the Saints are going to be fine at left tackle if they do have to maybe move, kick Pete outside for a couple of games. I still think it's early. This is only the first preseason game. But if Pete has to be kicked outside for a bit, I think they're going to be okay with that. It doesn't look like that's what the Saints want to do.
You know what's interesting? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think the most important thing to me isn't going to be whether or not who's playing left tackle. To me, it's going to be who's playing center. If that hunger doesn't come back, that's a bigger concern for me.
Yeah, now, I guess part of my reason I'm not that worried about it, and two things about me not being worried about the offensive line, is because my expectation is that Max Unger will be back. And the second thing is, if you remember last offseason, everyone was in a panic about the offensive line and how terrible it was going to be. But literally game one, it just wasn't an issue. You know, so there are ways that the Saints scheme, the way that Drew Brees gets the ball out of his hands quickly, the way that they run their offense, it just seems like it's good for offensive linemen. It doesn't put them in a precarious position where they have to block longer than they need to or have to do things that make them uncomfortable. He puts them in the best position to win.
There's very few spots along the Saints team that I ever worry about. Quarterback is one of those, offensive line is another, and wide receiver. Because it just seems like it doesn't matter who the Saints plug in and play, it all seems to work out. A few years back, the Saints lost Jamal Brown. They started this little-known guy called Jamon Bushrod. Seems like everything worked out just fine in that situation. You know,
absolutely.
You had a guy that nobody knew of called Brian De La Fuente, who steps in at center, and all of a sudden, you know, he takes over for Olin Cruz, who basically just retired and quit on the team. So I think the Saints have figured out this offensive line thing. And again, if you look at Jahri Evans, many people thought he was done and washed up. All of a sudden, he steps back in the offensive line, and like you said, the offensive line had no problems. So I think the Saints are clear on offensive line. I do think that the high snaps that I've been seeing in practice from Josh Larivas, that's a bit more concerning, but again, I'm with you. I think Max Unger will be back by week three of the preseason, and by week one, everything will solidify itself.
My guest today, Brian Bienemy of ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Thursday night against the Browns, the Saints get to match up against another team. Different faces, hitting new guys instead of their own teammates. One of the things that I want to see is how the defense, and I don't think this is any big surprise or any magic here. The defense is going to be the thing that everyone's going to be focused on. What are you expecting from the defense in general? What is it that you're going to be looking for, Brian?
Well, I'm looking for pass rush. I don't worry about Cam Jordan. I think we spoke about that in the first segment. I don't worry about Cam Jordan. I want to see Alex Okafor, Haloi Kakaha, Ogun Gwachim, and guys like that. I want to see what they create on the outside opposite of Cam Jordan, because I think that's going to be a spot we have to pay attention to the entire season. What kind of pressure can they get? And what I'm hoping for is that I'm hoping that Dennis Allen doesn't try to create too much pressure using any blitzes. I want to see the front four just get basic pressure. Just man-on-man, cannot beat the guy in front of me. And if that can take place, I'll feel a lot more comfortable with the defensive line. I'd love to see some interior pressure from a guy like Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata. Let's see what they can do, because Nick Fairley's not going to be there. And then when it comes to the linebackers, can they cover? I don't worry about the ability to stop the run. Can they cover the backs coming out of the backfield and cover the tight ends? Because if they can, that bodes well, because you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks that can get the job done. For as much as, you know, Saints fans may hate Matt Ryan, he seems to be able to pick apart the Saints in the middle of the field. And, you know, Cam Newton is going to be a guy that's going to be able to not only throw the ball but run as well. And then, of course, we have Jameis Winston, who's everybody's crowning right now as the second coming of Joe Montana, if you will, because, you know, Tampa's a sexy team to come out of the NFC for a Super Bowl run. So I'd love to see what the linebackers can do. The young secondary is always going to be something that we have to, you know, take control of, because Delvin Bro and first-round pick Marcus Lattimore haven't been there. But I think guys like Ken Crowley and Sterling Moore can hold down the fort until those other guys get healthy. But I really just want to see the front four get pressure all on their own. No blitzes, no schemes, just can you beat the guy in front of you?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that is kind of an epiphany I had, and now reading this morning, I think that most people have come to the realization that the Browns' defensive coordinator is Greg Williams. One of the things, if you remember back in 2011, Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator of the Saints, and we played the 49ers. Now, how it all went down, there's some speculation, there's rumors, but essentially the way the story goes was that Jim Harbaugh, who was the coach of the 49ers at the time, didn't return a call to Sean Payton. So, and now who gave the, you know, order or what have you, but Greg Williams released the dogs on the 49ers that day in a preseason game, the first preseason game of the year. Now, to move forward to last year, the Saints embarrassed the Rams. Matter of fact, if you remember late in that game, the Saints, I think it was, we did a wide receiver pass when we had a big lead, and apparently, I didn't personally see it, but a lot of people reported that Sean Payton was staring Greg Williams down. Now, the reason I point all this out is because we're short on our center, we're short on our left tackle, and you have Drew Brees out there with a guy like Greg Williams, who we all know, you know, with the bounty gate and all these different things, that he's the type of guy who could just throw the dogs at the Saints. And the last thing I want to see is Drew Brees taking a hit in preseason.
I can understand your angst in that situation, but I would hope, my hope would be that Hugh Jackson is a bit more of a classy guy that he won't allow something like that to happen. I have heard reports that he and Sean Payton have actually talked about what exactly they want to do when it comes to this game, what are they trying to work on for each set of teams especially. So I don't really know if that's going to be the case, but it would not surprise me if Greg Williams slipped in a blitz or two to kind of send a message to Sean Payton. The problem with that is that I don't think you want to kind of annoy Sean Payton, a guy who doesn't mind dropping 62 on you or doing a wide receiver pass late in that game. I actually was in attendance for the game, and I had a very good, vantage point. That stare down, I'll say it without saying it, I wouldn't necessarily call it a rumor.
Okay, all right. Well, that kind of clarifies it, because I read it a lot, but no one personally told me that was the way. And I know sometimes reporters have a way of trying to make the story sound a little bit more interesting than it is sometimes. So to hear it from you kind of reinforces that, hey, that's what happened.
I'll say this. Not only was there a stare down that took place, but there was also a little sideline dancing by Sean Payton as well. So let's just say, to put it mildly, Sean Payton wanted to win that one.
I can imagine. Well, anyway, listen, Brian, thank you as usual for coming in and helping us and contributing to the show. Do me a favor, give our listeners your Twitter account and any other way they might be able to follow you if they want to hear some more of the Saints information.
Absolutely, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian TNR. That's BryanTNR. I'm also can be found on ESPN New Orleans at 100.3 FM. I mostly do my Friday reports, which is called Camping with Brian. It's a segment in which I discuss anything and everything that is the NFC South. So you guys can follow me there. And soon to be WhoDatNation.com. I'll be doing a podcast there. You can check me out there as well.
Outstanding, man. I look for it. Thanks again for coming on. And we'll talk to you as soon as we get a chance to in the future.
Thanks a lot, my brother. I appreciate the invite.
Take care, bro. That's Brian Bienemy of ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. Listen, we're going to take a short break. We're here at the SEC Sports Pub. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, it's the BS and Beer Podcast here at the SEC Sports Pub, and it's that time again, LandryFootball.com report, and my friend Chris Landry. Chris, how are you today, sir?
I am doing great, because I'm speaking with you. It's always a great time talking football with you.
Oh, look at you, man. I appreciate that. Listen, first game where the Saints get to hit somebody else other than their own teammates. They're going up against the Browns. How do you think the Browns will challenge the Saints so that we can find out more about the Saints, if you follow what I'm trying to ask here?
Well, I think certainly if you're looking at an overall roster, the Browns still have one of the weaker rosters in the league. One of the top three or one of the worst three in the league in terms of weak rosters. But there are always things you can learn. I think that you have to look at preseason games situationally, not look at, how many points, how many yards, how many completions, how many sacks. You have to look at who they're doing it against, how they're doing it. You're trying to work on different things. So I think, to me, what you try to get out is, regardless of the opponent, is to try to see fundamental things. See if there's some protection issues that come up on the offensive line. We're aware of the snapping problems at center. See how that seamlessly transitioned, hopefully in a positive way. The running game, all those things are pivotal. Defensively, again, not going to be the most challenging offense that they're going to face. But, so you don't sit there and say, they played well, they held them, for a while, or, they gave up too many yards against this bad offense. This is a bad sign. But you want to see defensive tackles, how they come off blocks, play with leverage, pass rush, the base pass rush. Don't worry so much about the added pressure. But things like that I think you want to look at. I want to see how the corners play. They are not going to start Dalvin Bro for a reason. I think they want to see what these other corners can do in extended action. So I think all those things individually. Preseason is about doing two things. Looking at young guys so they can fill out the bottom of your roster, which is important. Build the roster from the bottom up, not the top down. And then two, you got to bring your starters along a little slowly, because with only 15 padded practices, this is like the first sign or the first form of physical activity, and you can't start a lot of these guys, a lot of your starters, and play them a lot of snaps. You got to ease them into this process.
Okay, listen, one of the storylines that I had an epiphany, and all of a sudden this is a question that I think is super interesting. Back in 2011, the Saints played the 49ers. At the time, Greg Williams was the Saints defensive coordinator. Jim Harbaugh apparently, and this is the kind of the story that was going around, didn't call Sean Payton back, and at some point, next thing you know, the Saints blitzed the 49ers unmercifully. Now,
right.
With the last year, the Saints beat the brakes off the Rams when Greg Williams was the coordinator. Matter of fact, through a receiver. Pass that you don't often see when they were already well ahead. Do you or would you, with your coaching experience in the NFL, feel like this is something that you'd have to be concerned about with your experience with Greg Williams?
Well, a couple of things, and it's one of the interesting things because I know Greg well and helped kind of foster getting Greg and Sean together, and while it worked and won a Super Bowl, it certainly did not finish all that well. There are two situations there. One, in terms of when Greg was there, it's common courtesy in preseason to call and say, look, we're going to work a lot on our blitz package because, you know, we need to work on that. So you want to alert them, and people might say, what? You tell people what you're doing? Yeah, in preseason, there is a courtesy that we may do certain things. Obviously, the Saints tried to do that, love Jim Harbaugh, but he's a different dude, and he has why he didn't return the call, whatever. I don't know. I mean, I think there's some of that you just quite will never know unless you're the people that are exactly involved. In terms of the whole Sean Payton, Greg Williams situation, there is a little bit of, how can we say it, Dave? Immature-ish, but bitterness that lingers there. Those things, I think, were real, and I think they were a message being sent. And yeah, I do think that you could possibly see some of that. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to expect some, let's call it, creative juices flowing that you might be prepared for because you are facing a guy that has got some bitter feelings, and they've got bitter feelings towards him.
Well, and we're shorthanded at left tackle right now. You have both Ramchek, and then obviously early in the season Armstead out with Khalif Barnes playing, and then again I have no idea who's going to be playing center in lieu of Max Unger. This is a situation where it concerns me that if you're going to put Drew Brees in harm's way, and you have on the other side of the ball a guy who has a little bit of he wants some. A little bit of a pint of blood, if you will. It makes me nervous to see that situation.
I wouldn't be overly nervous. I mean, certainly it is something to consider, but Drew gets the ball out very quickly, and he's not going to allow himself to be caught in a situation. Plus, I don't see him playing an awful lot of snaps where it's going to be a factor. But listen, you've got to be prepared for it. You got to, in some respects, you got to be prepared to adjust to what people are going to do against you. And if they become a little more aggressive, which they certainly within their rights to do that, you got to be prepared to block that.
All right. So the Saints haven't won a preseason game in over 2 years. In your opinion, what is it now? I've always felt that it was just simply over the last several years because of bad free agent signings, because of some drafts that didn't work out. We simply lose these games because of depth. How important is it to win these preseason games for a team that hasn't won one in over two preseason seasons?
Not very. In fact, until you mention it, I hadn't really thought about the fact that they haven't won a game in that long. It really just went by me. I think I go back to what I said earlier. It's about how you play. I think there is something to the depth factor or lack thereof that's contributed to some of the issues. But, remember, I think that what's important is you get out of it what you need to, and that is in terms of getting your football team better. You need to come out of each game getting better. And it doesn't mean necessarily that, we didn't make a mistake, so we're good. No, it's about identifying things that you can't do well. And let me explain. you know, you don't game plan for opponents in preseason. What you do is you go in with the idea we're going to focus certain against certain things. So, for example, game planning for an opponent, there are certain things you might want to do that you're going to do completely different in a preseason game because you don't want to game plan for that opponent. What you want to do is game plan for an opportunity to learn something about your team to say, look, we're going to really struggle in this situation if we don't max protect. Or we might have to bring additional pressure in this situation because we're not good enough. So you want to put guys in a position. You want to see some base looks and how they perform. See who can hold up under that pressure. And that may mean mistakes, and it may mean cost you games in preseason. That's okay, because if you learn from it, then you can take that knowledge going forward and build upon what is going to help you game plan once the games count for real in the regular season.
I'm talking to Chris Landry, NFL coach, NFL scout. You can find him at LandryFootball.com. This is the Landry Football Report. We do it every week. Chris, I've called you and talked to you and emailed you several times this week. Man, you've seemed so busy. I almost feel bad disturbing you. Why don't you tell us what you're working on right now so the listeners can understand what they might be able to find over at LandryFootball.com?
Well, it's the confluence right now of obviously training camps have been going on for a couple of weeks now. And then, of course, the college two-day practices or college fall practices have been starting and they're a few days into it. So it's a confluence of both of that. Now, as we have gotten into one preseason game in and we've got Wednesday night game and then everybody, as we're talking about playing this weekend starting on Thursday, they're games to be looked at. So there's a lot of film and a lot of players to evaluate. The rosters are bigger. Every team's rosters are bigger. So looking at those guys, do a lot of preliminary work on that. Takes a lot of time, a lot of film work, and a lot of report writing. And obviously we bring that to folks at LandryFootball.com. When we started the website a couple of years ago, it was with the idea that Landry Football Operations is a consulting firm that assists college programs and NFL teams in scouting and coaching evaluation work. And we decided, what can we do for the fan to get them more in tune to the game? So that's what LandryFootball.com is all about. It takes you inside the film room, explains the game from that perspective, gives you some of the inside information that maybe doesn't exist elsewhere outside of the business. And gives basically every fan out there an access to an NFL scouting department for less than a magazine subscription, as well as a college football program's office. So that's what we do, and obviously as we get in towards the meat of the season, and the preseason is the beginning of it, the tip of the iceberg, we're getting into that, and it just takes a ton of time to go through it and sort through the evaluation process to give the folks the information that they deserve to have.
Now, when we first started this, you said that all the guys who are listening to the show, and gals too, I use that as a generic term, but anyone who might be interested, you had a discount code. I think it was Saints. Is that still available?
Absolutely still available. You can use that if you're listening. Put it in, and you'll get a special discount for the premium site. As you well know, and David's a big part of what we're doing at LandryFootball.com, we've got some free, we've got podcasts, we've got a lot of free information in our notebooks. So there's good information to go in, go to the store, browse around, see what you can get. And obviously, if you're interested in the in-depth film room analysis, you can see that is very, very affordable. It's certainly less than, again, a magazine subscription that you would get. And again, get you a lot more information. And using that code SAINTS will get you an even bigger discount.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, thank you again for your time. I know you're a busy man. Big game tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to having lots of good information to chew on next time we talk next week.
Hey, looking forward to it. Can't wait to break it down with you.
Take care, brother. All right, that's Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Listen, if you're looking for that kind of scouting, where NFL break down the film, this is where you go. He's a professional coach, professional scout, did it for tons of years. He organized the NFL Scouting Combine at one point, so we're not talking about just another guy on the internet trying to give you some information. This is where you go when you want a professional review of what happened in the game. So, you know, go over there, check it out, and see what he has to offer. That's about all the show we have. Next time we talk, it's going to be It's going to be about performance, not going to be about speculation or things that guys did at practice against backups and whatnot. So I'm really looking forward to it. And listen, one more thing. Man, we appreciate you guys. Man, the only thing we ask from you, go out there, spread the word. Man, like it, share it. Follow me at SaintsBS on Twitter. That's my new thing. If you've been listening to the show, I've only been around Twitter for, I don't know, man. I've had an account for like a year and a half, 2 years, something. But I literally never used it. In the last 6 weeks, you guys have been so supportive. I appreciate all you guys who follow me. Now, shoot me. Man, hit me. The reason I do it, I love, you have no idea, I love the Saints. I want to talk Saints 24/7. Hit me up. Ask me a question. Give me your opinion about something. And you never know, it'll hit the show. Speaking of hitting the show, I want to give a shout out to Troy, who gave us a hotline call. That number, 701-901-1295. He asked a great question. And I didn't check the box until after I got off the phone with Chris Landry. So, Troy, I'm going to ask Chris that question, and I'm going to try to get it answered on the show. But it's a great question, and I'm so disappointed I didn't organize myself well enough to get it out today. Because usually we do the hotline questions on a Monday when Tomas and Heath are here. But that was a great question, and we'll get to it. I also want to give a special thanks out to Dale. You know him as Lil Dice, Matt Lissman, and Craig Wright, who are supporters and help the show. And also, I want to give a special thanks to Brian Bienemy of ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM, and, of course, Chris Landry. Anyway, for Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-San, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We will talk to you on Monday.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.